learning lessons from Oprah. She grew up listening to this story that I'm going to share with you today. It's a hard story, but it is a God story. It is how God chooses to use Jesus to remind us of why forgiveness is so important. Hear these words from Luke, the 7th chapter, beginning with the 36th verse. And I want to tell you that in my Bible, the preface, the title for this scripture is A Sinful Woman Forgiven. So there's no misunderstanding that sometimes the best clarifier for ourselves and definition is that we are sinful. So put yourself in the place of this woman and hear this story anew. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." Teacher, he replied, "Speak." A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sin, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we're doing retro worship today because I did not want to pass up this opportunity to talk about forgiveness. As I talked to some of my staff this week, we said, you know, it may be that love is forgiving is the hardest sermon that we will ever hear or have to live by. And I don't know about you, I find forgiving a little bit challenging from time to time. I'm probably the only one. You know, I know the rest of y'all are good Christians, followers of Jesus, and good United Methodists, but it's one of those challenging things for me. This week, I want to remind you also that as we bring this conclusion to the Love Is series, that many of you have not checked your mailbox, and there are love notes in your mailbox. So we're going to hold you hostage at the end of the worship service, and you're going to have to go to that mailbox because it's so full we can't get another love note in there. Amen? So I want to make sure you stop by your mailbox. I'll try to remind you at the end of the service. But I want to send out another special love note to all of the Highland Hopers for not only stepping in and helping us here in the church office, because, you know, when it comes to Julie and Catherine, we have to replace both of them with like four or five people to get through a day because they're so efficient. So when one of them is gone, we need like five volunteers to fill their slot. So I want to thank you all for stepping in and helping us in the office this week. And I don't have to thank you because I know how much you love, but I appreciate you loving on the Maynards and the Steinbergies and especially little Ruthie, and they will continue to need our love as they move to their new normal. But can I just say, people around our town always notice how Highland Hopers love on their folks. So I was sitting at the dinner table at the funeral dinner that we had here, and one of the people said, you know, I was at a funeral last week, and they had cold cuts. I said, that is not the Highland Hope way. We don't do, I mean, you know, we might have a relish tray, but that's just to hold you over till the fried chicken shows up. So again, Karen Gurley, you and your whole crew, you're just wonderful, and we cannot make it through these hard seasons without the opportunity to sit with our families and love on them. And all of you helped, and I thank you so much. Some of you took off work to be here for the family. You know, so you do it for everybody, not just for your staff, but you do. And I just want to say thank you for the love that I see you pouring out. This is your series, and we've had a good time with it. I'm going to move on. I don't have a watch on, but I can see the time. So as we start in this story, we've got this woman. We've been in Love is Risky, Love is Honest, Speaking the Truth in Love. We have been looking at reconciliation as power and love as godly. And then we come up on the one that's most challenging for us. And let's see what we can learn together. First off, I want to tell you that as Jesus entered the house of Simon, you need to realize that Jesus had a reputation. Everybody has a reputation. Now, you may not pay attention to the reputation that you have, but others do. There's not a person in this room that doesn't have a reputation. Sometimes it's a reputation that you want. And sometimes it's a reputation you can't wait to get rid of. But it is yours. So here we have in our setting, before Simon the Pharisee invited Jesus to dine at his table, Jesus too had a reputation. On one occasion, Jesus had done the unthinkable. He had touched a leper and the man was healed. But the very act of touching the leper would have made him unclean in the Pharisees' eyes. But Jesus did it anyway. There was a time that Jesus was teaching in a home and friends raised the roof to bring in a paralytic. Jesus stopped in the midst of his teaching, stopped what he was doing, hit the pause button, and Jesus spoke the words of forgiveness, and the man was able to stand up and walk. Jesus had a reputation. He had a reputation as a blasphemer. He had a reputation as hanging out with tax collectors. He had a reputation for eating and drinking with sinners. Jesus had a reputation. And since he had this reputation that was a disgust to most of the Pharisees and the Sadducees of his day, one would have to ask the question, why then did they invite him to the table? I mean, how many of you look for the most disgusting people that you know and say, hey, you want to have dinner today? I'm just saying, people who get on your last nerve and you consider them a blasphemer, blaspheming against God, going against Mosaic law, I dare they invite such a creature to dinner. No respectable Pharisee would have invited Jesus to their dinner table. After all, the Pharisees were the religious elite. They were the enforcers of strict observance of religious ceremonies and practices. So why would Simon, a Pharisee, invite Jesus to dine at his table? Maybe Simon was intrigued by this dude they called Jesus because of his growing notoriety. Or perhaps he simply wanted to get a closer look at this troublemaker he had been hearing about. Somebody said, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. Yeah. And maybe, just maybe, Simon thought, you know, if I invite him to the table, maybe Jesus will break some religious law and I will have witnesses, me and my friends, and we will be able to discredit all that he has done. I just want to tell you, you ought to be careful when people give you an invitation. It's not always because they love you. Yeah, so here Jesus is at the table. Now, you need to understand that in Jesus' day, when people invited you to dinner, they didn't invite you to Farmers, as Pastor Bev does on Sunday. When they invited you to dinner, you usually ate in an open place. You ate where people could see you, usually in an open garden kind of area. So you ate in plain view of those who walked by. So it was not uncommon to see someone dining as a dinner guest, and you could tell who the guest was by where they reclined at the table. Okay? So it wasn't uncommon to see these festive dinner occasions as you walked by someone's home, and as you made your way and you noticed who was in the home, you would just sort of pass that information along. Hey, can you believe that Simon the Pharisee, hey, he got Jesus over at his house. And Jesus is sitting in the seat of the honored guest. So the occasion that we have here, if I could describe it for you, at Simon's house, that would have been what we call a triclinium. It's a table that is set like a triangle, okay? So it has three sides. The dinner guest would be on one of those sides near the head of one of the points. That would have been Jesus. Now, when they ate, they would have been in a reclining, perhaps a cushion if they were wealthy. If not, they would just be on the floor, usually propped up on the left side and eating with the right side. So when you reclined at the table, your feet were sort of behind you, which would explain the story as to why the woman stood behind him. So Jesus is facing this way. He's laying down on his side and his feet are behind him. And the woman comes up while he is at the dinner table. She stands behind him, and the Bible says she wept. She knew that in his presence, weeping was the appropriate response. She is sitting there, and all of her life mistakes are being played in her mind. And she is standing in the presence of, in her mind, the rabbi, the teacher, the holy one, the one with the reputation of touching the untouchable. And so she's overcome with emotions, and she begins to weep. She didn't plan on the weeping. She planned on coming just to anoint him. But in his presence, she was moved to tears. She wept when she remembered her own sin and her own brokenness. She wept when she thought about all of the bad choices that she'd made in life. She wept when she remembered her sinful mistakes. I see this woman being overcome with tears, tears of shamefulness, tears of pain, as she remembers her life. No one handed her a silver platter with a golden spoon on it. Her life was a story of brokenness. Perhaps the only way that she could care for herself was to sell her body. She was a broken woman. So as she enters this stage, she's standing there, bringing with her all of the load of the heavy debts of her past. She's almost bent over with the weight of her yesterday mistakes. But she pushes her way into this scene with Jesus, and everyone there had their eyes fixed on her from the moment she entered the room and approached the table. And the Bible says it was with scorn that they looked at her. In other words, they despised her when they saw her approaching Jesus. Because of their self-righteousness, they cast piercing eyes upon her. But you know what? She stayed her ground. She made her way through the crowd that may have been around them. Those who were serving, they stepped out of her way because they knew that she was a sinful woman. Began to ask myself, now you know who's at this table? Everybody at this table was a man. There were no women at this table. How could they be so certain of her sinfulness? You go the rest of the story. They're not guessing that she's sinful. They know she has a reputation. Perhaps they're the reason she has a reputation. Maybe they have helped her make the reputation. Remember the example that Jesus gives, the 500 sins over against 50 sins. There wasn't a person at the table that didn't have some sinfulness. He didn't say, and the one with zero sins, because there wasn't such a person. But with her tears, she washed his feet. And with her hair, she dried them. And then she did the unthinkable. She took that alabaster jar, which was expensive in its own, and she took that expensive ornament of hers, and she began to anoint his feet. Can you just imagine in her mind thinking, my feet have walked some terrible paths. But these are holy feet. I don't know where this Jesus guy's path will lead him, but I know where my path of brokenness has brought me. And I just believe that if I can give this act of compassion to him, maybe I can start over again. And as she anointed his feet with oil, washed them with her tears, and dried them with her hair, Jesus canceled the debt of her sins. Now, no one in this encounter bothered to ask the young lady why she had come. And you notice what Jesus said. It was customary that when you invited a house guest, you would have water at the door. You would offer them the opportunity to wash their feet. It was customary that you do the double kiss on the right and the left cheek. He didn't get any of that. Jesus knew that he was not in a friendly atmosphere. Yo, you invited me to your house. You didn't give me water to wash my feet. You didn't kiss me as customary. Jesus knew that he was at a table of troubled people. People whose sense of righteousness had gotten in their way. But here comes this woman. She comes with all of her sinfulness, but she comes comes, though her life has been unclean, she comes with a clean heart, she comes with a pure heart, and she's not confused. She comes knowing that she is a sinner. And so here they sit with all of their wonderfulness, and they cast their sinful eye upon her, and Jesus stops right in the middle of the meal, surrounded by all of these people, and he said, Simon, I want to talk to you. Now, do you realize that everybody around there was a Simon? They all needed to hear what Jesus had to say. He said, you know, he was letting them know, yes, this woman has been caught in a life of sinfulness, but do you realize, Simon, that you're not in a position to cast a sinful eye on her? You see, the woman came out of love, and she came looking to be healed of her sinfulness. And Jesus gave her the one thing that everybody needed, but nobody dared to ask for because they were religious. Sometimes being religious is the very thing that sets us up in life. They did not ask for forgiveness, so it didn't get offered to them. It got offered to the one who in tears and in her shamefulness and in her brokenness was able to confront, I am a sinful person, I stand in need of forgiveness, and Jesus turns around and cancels all of her debts of sin with a few words. You are forgiven. But notice how he says it. He says, your faith. You mean this sinful woman had faith? She believed that when she saw Jesus, something was going to change. Your faith has saved you. And then he sent her forth in peace. What is this forgiveness thing? Jesus had given up his right to hold her hostage to her old life. What about you? You got people you're still holding hostage to their yesterday. With a few words, Jesus was able to reach down into the dirtiest part of her soul and hit the reset button. And can I tell you what Jesus did for her? He just can't wait to do for her. Us? Ask yourself, as all of those people sat around the table, do you think there was even one who thought, maybe that should be me? Maybe I'm the one that should be weeping. But because they lived in the ignorance of their sin, they were not moved to ask for forgiveness. But this young lady came in crying sad tears, but she left a brand new person because Jesus released her. And he said it's because of her love and her compassion. So what is this forgiveness thing? Forgiveness is the healing of the soul from the inside out. Forgiveness is the healing form of love that washes down in the recesses of our soul. Forgiveness is loving someone enough to let it go. So many times when we are the recipients of others' brokenness, we take it personal. But Jesus looks at our sins and he sees our brokenness state, and he stands with arms wide open, ready to embrace us with healing from the inside out. What is this forgiveness? Forgiveness, I put it this way, love is forgiving. Love is for giving it away. Forgiving leads to forgiveness. The question for us today, are you broken? Have you pain that cuts so deep it has almost paralyzed you in a significant relationship? Have you lost the joy of your salvation? This young woman would say, look to Jesus. The songwriter said, Jesus, paid it all. All to him I owe. She would be the one saying, hey, sin had left a crimson stain. My soul was red and dirty, but Jesus, he washed me white as snow. So love is forgiving. And the only question we ask today, are we humble enough to say, I need it? I need forgiveness today? The woman with the alabaster jar knew she needed forgiveness, but those sitting around the table were so close to Jesus physically that they could not see his capacity to love beyond their brokenness. So here we go, forgiveness. We say it often in this service. We'd like to have that Lord's Prayer in this service. We say it, but do we really pray it? I've discovered something about that prayer. That prayer holds the power to our freedom. You don't need to memorize the Lord's Prayer. This week we were part of the Amazing Grace race. And here at Highland Hope, the challenge was you had to stand on your right foot and do the Lord's Prayer. We had fun. The Lord's Prayer is a golden key. It's a golden opportunity to unlock each of us from the jail cells that we have built around us. Pray those words with me. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. My prayer for us today, as we head toward the holy table of communion, that we hold on to those three words, as we forgive. Let's take a moment and examine our hearts. I want to invite you to just bow your head for a moment, close your eyes, and I want you to just think for a moment. Who needs your forgiveness? Who do you need to give that key to? Who do you need to release from an old hurt? For you are the one that needs to be free. Let the old hurt go. Acknowledge that it was painful. Acknowledge that you got hurt, but that was yesterday. Decide in this moment. When I come to the table today, I'm giving my hurt away. I'm releasing my brokenness. For whoever has harmed me, I refuse to be imprisoned by unforgiveness. Lord, hear my prayer. Release me to be free. May it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.